Thanks for tuning in to KGVM Bozeman and this presentation of the issue and candidate forum for the upcoming Bozeman election. The forum was recorded on October 9th, 2019 at the Bozeman Public Library. We would like to thank our underwriter for this programming, Granny's Gourmet Donuts. You can find Granny's Donuts at 3 Ty Lane, just west of the Fieldhouse. The next segment of the forum features questions asked by the audience and responded to by the candidates for city commissioner and mayor.
All right, now it's your turn, and you get to ask questions. I would ask strongly that you not make speeches and that we let people answer the question. You can ask a question of a particular person if you like, but everybody else is going to get a chance to answer it too. Yes, ma'am.
Hello, everyone. Climate change is mainly caused by fossil fuels used for our traditional modes of transportation in our buildings. Do you believe the city should serve as a role model to its citizens in addressing climate change? If no, why not? If yes, what would you propose for strategies above and beyond what the city's already doing?
1 minute. Who wants to answer? Could you use it for anybody?
In the last 7 years, according to the city's sustainability office, we've made progress in every sector except our transportation sector, where not only have total emissions gone up by 27%, but per capita emissions have gone up. So if we are going to make progress on climate change, one of the things that we have to do, that the city has to take leadership on, is transforming our transportation system away from being dependent on a transportation system where every person is required to get into a vehicle and drive for every trip they make.
Thank you. I think Bozeman needs to be a leader in the Northern Rockies on climate change. I've worked closely with Greg Finley and Sarah Blessing of Sunrise Movement. They're here tonight. I think all government buildings in Bozeman need to run on renewable energy by 2025. I think all new subdivisions need to be powered on renewable energy by 2035. And I think that as we replace vehicles here in the local government and as we electrify new buses, that will reduce our emissions from a transportation perspective. This is incredibly important. We have to leave an amazing planet for our children and our grandchildren, and we have to make sure that Bozeman is a leader not only on conservation but climate change as well. Thank you very much.
Yeah, I'll go next. I absolutely think that the city should lead in this arena. I just spent last week at a conference in Park City, Utah called 2030. It was all 34 mountain resort communities that talked about climate solutions. And I think we should begin talking about this in terms of climate solutions, not climate change. And I think we would get a lot farther in reframing this conversation in terms of everybody wants to leave this planet a little bit better, not about climate change anymore. But that being said, I think I'm having some really interesting conversations right now about electric buses that perhaps would go from here to points west when you're skiing, when you're looking at... I don't know as far as Yellowstone Park, but there's definitely some interest and some conversations happening in and around this community around climate, and I'm very excited to be involved in those.
Thanks, Cindy. Yeah, I do think that the city should continue to be a leader in this area. I'll tell you why I sustainability coordinator Natalie Meyer, I have to tell you, I believe her to be a very honest person, and I'll tell you why. It's because when she does her presentation of the how long her sustainability program has been in place, and then she shows you the average greenhouse gas emissions per capita in the city of Bozeman, okay? They've gone down over the life of her program, right? Okay? But she's honest about it, and she's upfront, and she says, however, the main reason for that is because Northwestern Energy changed how your energy is being generated. They changed from coal to hydroelectric to dams over that period of time. And that, quite frankly, is one of the largest things that you don't, quite frankly, have a lot of impact on some of the big things. Now, transportation, like Mark said, is a big thing, too. But anyway, so when Natalie told me that, I said, I'm going to believe her from here on out.
Yes, this is the crisis of our time, period, end of story, full stop. So we need at least a few things. One, we need even more aggressive water management and water conservation measures. Two, as Mark mentioned, we need a full transit system. It's time to find a way in the cold, snowy West to move beyond a car-centric culture and car-centric development. And we're talking about, to me, it's time to apply for federal grants. When we cross the 50,000 threshold and that money becomes available to do a real rapid transit bus system where it stops every 15 minutes and a mom with a baby who needs to get groceries can actually use it. And the last thing is I'd like to see us do just a renewable energy mandate and actually start local pilot projects on the ground to see what's possible in terms of a full energy infrastructure for renewables so that we can actually build that and see what we can scale.
Okay.
Thanks.
Okay. Yes.
I read a report that Dr. Wallner authored consisting of a comparative municipals tax study for the city of Bozeman. In your opinion, what was the one most important finding in that report? And how will that report be used to convince legislators we need a tourist tax in Bozeman?
That's for Michael.
Thank you very much. I think the one most important finding was that we have the fourth highest property taxes with the fourth lowest income when we're compared to 13 other municipalities in the West. We need a tourist tax and a local option sales tax here in Bozeman. Seniors need tax relief. This is the number one issue that I've been hearing about on the door, and I thought it was going to be growth. It's not. It's property tax relief for our working citizens, our retirees, and our students. I think it's incredibly important to recognize that, yes, I did write this tax report. Jim Hamilton, our Montana legislature, has asked me to come to the state in November and testify about this report. I grew up as a rural ranch kid, and we're getting a lot of resistance from ranchers from rural communities in Montana to get this tourist tax in place, and we need this for the future of Bozeman and for our revenue and infrastructure of our community. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mark.
Thanks. I agree. We need a tourist tax. The tourists do not pay their fair share. But what the report that Stroller authored failed to mention or failed to say is that city commission cannot create a tourist tax any more than city commission can lower your state income taxes. In fact, cities and towns across Montana have been lobbying the legislature in nearly every legislative session since 1981 to get authorization to create a local option sales tax. In the last session alone, there were six bills introduced, including one by Bozeman Representative Chris Cope for a local option sales tax, and the only one that made it out of committee pertained to existing resort communities. So we should keep working and hoping for a tourist tax, but I want to say that a hope is not a plan.
I will just chime in to say that it is correct at local level. We cannot just create a tax, but I will say that there was a lot of effort from this community and others in the last legislative session to talk about some kind of tax with regard to property tax relief if we have some kind of a tax. And for me, I just want another tool in the toolbox. It can be a state tax, it can be a tourist tax, but we need another tool to use as we continue to grow and ask all of our residents to pay for the impacts. So I think it's important to understand also that there are not one but two committees currently at the state level studying this tax question, and that has never happened before. They are rethinking and reimagining this tax structure that we have, which is broken, and that is one major step in a good direction.
Brian?
I agree with the idea of a local option sales tax. Currently, the city pays a lobbyist to go up to Helena and lobby on our behalf. I think I'd like to go up there myself and talk to the state, because I don't understand the reasoning behind why it keeps getting turned down. They say it's regressive, but yet if we structure it so that it's not going to be on your bread and your milk, then I don't understand. If it's just on, you know, going out to dinner, staying in hotels, doing the things that the tourists do, I don't understand what would be regressive about that. So I'd like to give it a whack at the legislative level myself. However, say we're successful in getting it passed, that's when the shell game can really start if you don't have somebody with fiscal experience and fiscal responsibility keeping an eye on it. Because the shell game can really say, hey, we're supposed to be seeing some property tax relief here. If you see it in the beginning, but if you're not careful, it's going to start creeping back up. And pretty soon you're paying as much in property taxes as you were before, and now you're paying this new sales tax. So I think that's where I would be very beneficial to having keeping an eye on it for you. Thank you.
I'd just like to make a larger comment about a larger scope issue here, which is that for 20, 25 years, well, now 30 now, actually, the state legislature has pretty much hamstrung the ability of local governments to do a lot of things. Our state has one of the most regressive tax systems in the country, which means that across the board, the richer you are, the less you're paying taxes, which is great. And so what we really need is taxing and governing flexibility at the local level, and I think we can overcome the partisan divide on a sales tax by actually asking for that, because it's a smaller government issue. It's trying to bring government back to the local level. and bring it closer to where people can govern it instead of kicking it up to a higher level. And I think that's something both parties can get behind, and I'd like to see our state leaders, our city leaders across the state, lobby hard for that so that we have flexibility across the board, including a tourism tax.
Another question. Yes.
So, parking. So, if you go to any of these city commission meetings, any issue you hear about parking. We clearly value it as a community in a tremendous way. It is something in the control of this community to tax tourists on. So the question for each of you is, do you believe that parking should be paid for by use?
By use?
Yeah. If you use a parking space, you should pay for it.
Mm-hmm. Who wants to answer that first?
Yes. I've been the liaison to the Parking Commission for almost my entire time on the City Commission, and I'm on that commission because it's interesting and it's something that is continually growing and affecting the community, just like affordable housing. The short answer to your question is yes, I believe that, and it is in our strategic parking management plan. Now, I will say that it's in the strategic plan, but it's not something that we're going to jump to automatically tomorrow. There are many things we are looking at prior to getting to that point. But I do think if you read information about parking, it is one way that you are able to recap a lot of money that helps you build additional parking facilities and that helps you manage your parking. So I agree, and I think yes is my answer to that question.
Well, a real short answer would be I think I agree with it. I'd like to hear what the other options, I guess, would be. I admit I'm a little naive on what the other options might be. But I think what we really need to make sure that we do with regard to parking, especially in the downtown, is to make sure that that private interests aren't tying up all the parking that we need for the public. So, and I would be in favor of two more decks on the parking garage. But
anybody else want to speak to that?
So I am a member of the Parking Commission. I think about this a lot. Parking is certainly important to the vitality of our downtown and across the city. I'll point out that in our downtown, we have about 5,000 parking spaces currently. If we converted all of the existing surface lots to structured parking, we could add 10,000 more parking spaces to our downtown inventory. The only challenge is we don't know how to pay to build that new parking. So we can build more parking if we can figure out how to pay for it. So we have a few options for paying for it. One would be to charge for on-street parking in places where downtown is overparked, which actually can be a benefit to the community, because if you have a reasonable expectation that you'll be able to find parking when you go downtown and you're willing to pay a dollar or two to be able to park to go to lunch at Starkey's, you're probably more likely to go to downtown in the first place, benefiting both the user and downtown, which gains revenue that we can use to build additional parking supply in the future.
The short answer is yes. I think there should be a minimal charge for on-street parking. However, I think it's time that developers start to pay for their own parking in the downtown community. The local citizens are having to deal with much of the burden on parking when developers are building a new hotel downtown, for instance, and they could build their own parking. They could charge the tourists for that parking, and that would work out in the private sector very well. But I think a minimal charge on-street parking is very reasonable. I worked at the city of Boise. City of Boise did that. They did just a minimal amount so that they could regain their revenues from on-street parking. But once again, I want to reemphasize that it's time for developers to start paying for their own parking and that the public doesn't have to. Thank you.
I mostly agree with Mark's. I agree that we need to. I don't have a lot to say. I think Mark's mostly right about this in terms of supply. My main comment is just that we are limited and we have to move away from how much car we need. That's a lot of time spent where cars sit in empty places, right? So as best we can, but the best long-term solution is not needing one to parking problems and to mobility problems as well, among many others. So it's better for our accessible community as well. But I largely agree with what Mark said and also with what Mike said about making developers pay for their parking. I think that's an appropriate move. Oh, and they'll need less if we actually have a transit system that works. So,
okay. Yes.
Referring back to the idea of bringing government back to the local level, next year there's going to be a referendum on gun control, taking away power of local communities to control gun control issues. First, kind of, what's your perspective on allowing local communities to have a vote over that? Perhaps going to the people of Bozeman and asking what we would like to see and what kind of safety we would like for our schools. This is very much an education-centered community. Second off, generally, what's your perspective on gun control?
Okay. Who wants?
That's a really great question. I support gun rights, but at the same time, America has a gun violence problem. We just are unique in the world in this regard, right? We're unlike anywhere else in that we have so many and so much gun violence in this way. So, yes, anytime we can have power at the local level, I think that's a good thing. And I might be a little bit of a Democrat, but in that case, I think small government is really, really good because it allows us one thing, which is to experiment. So if we can do that at a local level as much as possible where we don't need state-level legal uniformity, then it's really great because Billings can try one thing and Bozeman can try another and Helena can try another and we can actually see what works and we can minimize the damage and we can correct more quickly. So, yeah, I absolutely support that kind of measure. I'm sad that so many things have gotten kicked up to the state level where it's just it's ideological and it's partisan and it's designed to just prevent any future legislation from making changes at any level, and that's really unfortunate.
Thank you very much. I believe there's a case before the Montana Supreme Court here in the near future where Missoula had some very strict gun control laws and about purchasing guns within their city, and hopefully we'll have the result of that soon before we can make a decision. But I fully support, for instance, red flag laws. I think we need to do a better job as a nation knowing when people are mentally unstable and unfit to purchase firearms. Second, I think we need to enhance our background checks. I don't think we're doing nearly enough in this country to prevent domestic violence or murders based on just our background checks when people are purchasing new weapons. And third, my wife's going to be principal of the new Bozeman Gallatin High School. Of course, I fully support school safety. I think it's incredibly important. Children are buying bulletproof backpacks now. That tells you the level of a problem that we have in the United States with gun control and gun control violence. So yes, I fully support additional measures. Thank you.
So I also think that the local community should be able to make their decisions about this. I do think we need to keep in mind that the state has preempted us from certain things around guns. They haven't preempted us with regard to a lot of things, but around guns, they have. I initiated, and we now give out gun locks when we have a program where we give out car seats for folks if they need one, and now we have included gun locks as something that we give out as well to help make sure that people are locking up their guns. And I think that we should follow. I look forward to seeing what happens with Missoula. Their lawsuit is about background checks, and I hope that that gets to the courts, and if it comes out in their favor, I think we should be following that in terms of doing more background checking.
Thanks, Cindy. I agree with the comments that have been made that local control is always good regardless of the issue, so I would agree with that. Like Michael said, just enforcement of the current laws. And then with regard to gun control in general, I'm all for the Second Amendment, but I just I want to have a conversation with somebody who thinks that they do need an assault rifle, and I guess my gut tells me that outlawing them isn't going. I understand that people think it's a step towards taking away all your rights, and then some people think you need to be able to defend yourself from the government. And isn't the government going to have tanks and fighter jets, and what's your AK-15 going to do? But anyway, so I just would like to have the conversation about why some people are so adamant about not giving up machine guns in the city. That's all I got.
Mark, do you want to say something?
I grew up hunting. I support local decision making, and I support gun control. But currently, gun control is, as Mary Andrews pointed out, beyond the purview of City Commission. I'm going to use the balance of my time to finish answering my last statement about parking and paying for parking. So a bank, a church, and a bar could all logically share the same parking. And one of the ways that, or the only way in which parking users in Bozeman currently pay for parking is with leases that we've issued in our parking garage. We've currently issued leases to the ETHA, the Lark Hotel, the Element. And so as a member of the Parking Commission, I made a somewhat unpopular decision when an unpopular local developer came with a request to extend the term of existing leases that he already holds. And the reason I said yes to that is because it is a way for us to generate more revenue that we can use to build more parking in the future by using that garage more at night. It's empty at night. And when someone says, I want to pay market rates to use it at night, I said yes.
Okay, another question. Yes.
So Bozeman has a disparity or issue with wages and rents. what do you, everybody think about rent control, wages, local control? Where do people want to target that problem?
Okay.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yeah, we can repeat the question.
She's asking about where, if I'm wrong here, where we're at about the disparity between rent and wages and what we think about rent control or similar schemes. Again, this is currently preempted by state law, another part of that unfortunate package 25 years ago that cut the ankles of local government. But what I'd like to see that I think we may be able to do is we need to raise our local minimum wage. If you tie the local minimum wage to the cost of the average basic two-bedroom apartment in Bozeman, anybody tell me what it would need to be to afford that apartment? Any guesses? Almost $25 an hour. So I would like to see a minimum wage that is tied to the cost of housing, period. So that if that goes up, wages go up. Because if we're asking people to move here or to stay here and work, then we should be able to make that affordable for them so that they can stay and work here.
I'll go next. Mm-hmm. And just say that the idea that the city can do something about the minimum wage is something that we can do by leading by example, but we certainly are not able to go out and tell the private sector to pay X amount for a particular wage. That's not within our purview, and it's the we are not preempted, but it is in there is someone, you know, who actually sets the wage. There's a criteria in which it goes through as we look at how that's done, and the city itself does not have the authority to raise the minimum wage or pay more, with the exception of our own organization, where we are able to do that and where we are trying to set examples in that regard. So I just think that's important for everybody to understand.
Okay.
And rent control can't do it.
My better half, Lisa, she owns and operates a business here in Bozeman and a business in Three Forks. And during the busy season, she employs up to 27 people, I think it was this past year. And a lot of her staff is paid more than $15 an hour. Her entry-level wage is not that high, is under $15 an hour. She's an independent business owner, and I think there might be a misconception out there that all business owners are wealthy. And that's not true. There's what we call larger employers, you know, like the hospital and the city of Bozeman and your government institutions, and so I think we should have the conversation. I'm not saying that I'm totally against it. I'm just saying that when you look at Perkins going out of business and other places going out of business for increasing costs, I think we need as a community we should have the conversation. And I think we could all learn a lot from it. And I think we do need to do something about closing the gap between wages and cost of living.
Okay. Who else?
The question correctly identifies that there are two sides of the issue. Mm-hmm. There's the how much is rent side, and there is the how much are you bringing in side. On the rent side, there's not a lot that we can do in terms of rent control, but one of the things that the city can do is we can make sure that we're a good partner to HRDC, who provides most of these subsidized affordable rentals in Bozeman, to make sure that we maintain our existing stock of affordable rentals. And on the wages side, yeah, we can't create a local minimum wage, but the city can show leadership by committing itself to paying its employees a minimum wage, and it can go further by requiring its contractors to also commit to paying a living wage. And finally, the city should show leadership by creating a program to recognize large employers who commit themselves to the same standard as the city.
Mark? Or Michael?
Thank you very much. I firmly believe that we need to work with Britt Fontenot, our Director of Economic Development, as well as David Fine on sector development. I asked Britt this exact question. I said, what do we do? He said, we need sector development within our local economy. He's trying to bring in lots of companies that have photonics backgrounds. They can pay people more in those certain fields. So that's the first thing. Second, I think we need a larger supply of rentals. We've talked about this within our planning office. We need more rentals available for our local community. Third, we need to pay our employees more in the private sector. On my campaign, there were three people that were unemployed this fall. I'm paying one of them $15 an hour, one $18, and one $20. That matters. We need the people in the private sector to step up and help pay individuals that need a higher salary and a livable wage in the city of Bozeman. Thank you.
Yes.
I wanted to go back to the parking issue again. Talking about, you know, when we talk about paying for parking, does that just include the commercial district of downtown, or are you talking about, like, when people have private homes, that border of the downtown, if they have to pay to park in front of their homes, their private homes?
Well, I will just say that we currently, the discussion, I think the way I was thinking about it was downtown, but there are parking districts that as a neighborhood, if you're interested in forming a parking district, which says that you will then be able to park in front of your home and other people can park there as well, that, you know, people that might come and visit, you pay for that. But that is a decision that you make if you decide that you want to have a parking district in your neighborhood. And I think the discussion that at least where I was thinking about this was in the downtown core, in the commercial core.
When it comes to managing our parking supply in a manner that ensures that every desiring parking user is able to find parking, so if you want to go downtown, you can find parking, pricing is one of the management mechanisms that we have. It is our management mechanism of last resort, but it may be the management mechanism that we need for our downtown business core. And as the mayor said, the Parking Commission has been hard at work over the last year to develop an opt-in parking district, parking benefit district program for neighborhoods that are north and south of downtown or throughout other parts of town, such that if you find that your neighborhood is overparked by people that are using your on-street parking to go to a significant demand generator, downtown, high school, et cetera, that you could then opt in and ask for the city's assistance in managing that parking and do it in such a way that, yes, there would be permit fees, but the permit fees would then, anything above enforcement would be returned back to the neighborhood where those permit fees were generated.
I would just summarize what's been said so that you hopefully understand it, and that is that basically it's up to you whether or not you want to create one of these districts. And the reason you would create it is because other people are parking in front of your house and you're not able to park in front of your own house. So as a neighborhood, you voluntarily ask the city to create a district for you, and it's a nominal fee to pay for a pass for the year. I did speak with somebody lately who was instrumental in creating the one around the university. And he says now he can't believe he ever did that because it's just not working out the way that he wanted. But it could be worse. It'd probably be worse if he wouldn't have done it, he admits. So anyway, what I'm saying is if you do get one in there, don't expect it to all be wine and roses. There's still going to be some problems.
Thank you, Brian. So once again, I support Brian and Mayor Andrews with, do the citizens want to pay or implement a parking district in their neighborhood? That is fully up to the citizens. That's a decision that they have to make as a community. Second, I think it's incredibly important to look at parking supply. So on-street parking, I know, is filling out more and more in the two-hour parking as we continue to grow. I think in the future, in the next 10 years, we'll be looking at a new parking garage. Our growth rate is over 4% annually, and I think that'll be incredibly important for the downtown. And lastly, you know, it's interesting when you talk to people at their homes. I talked to a downtown business owner, and she said that they believe that their business revenues are down this year because of the construction as well as the parking issues downtown. And so when you hear that from these local business owners, it really makes you rethink our current strategies and how we can improve their lives and the revenue for their local businesses. Thank you.
Yes, in the back.
Thinking about how the city relates to our agricultural community, I'm just curious, what can the city of Bozeman, from your perspective, do to support our growing local and regional food economy here and that whole sector? I think it was mentioned that our Economic Development Department is focused on high-wage sectors, like photonics, but the network of farmers and entrepreneurs that support that sector, the food and ag sector, are also integral to our community. And I'm curious what ideas you have to keep that sector strong in our community.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I think first we need to work with local groups on advertising campaigns and better marketing. Second, I think we need to develop more city partnerships with these local nonprofits, farmers, and small businesses to support local food and sustainability. Third, I think we need to waive fees for these local farmers at the local farmers markets to make it more accessible for all of them. On a personal note, Jeannie and Todd Wilkinson's son, I'm sure many of you know him, Carter Wilkinson, he left school because he was so passionate about working on a local sustainable farm here in Bozeman, as well as the decreased impact on climate change. And he couldn't make a living here doing it. So I think that we need to help them with sector development as well, and I think that would be good for our local economy as well as the local sustainable food farms.
This is a huge issue, both for now for local farmers and ranchers, but also for future because of climate change and potential effects to our food security. We can't depend on our international food supply the way that we have gotten used to. My uncle actually was one of the first organic lentil farmers certainly in the state. When they started back in the 80s, they might have been some of the first in the country. Back when they called it weed farming, and they got ire from everyone. And so this is very near and dear to my heart. I think it needs to be the job of city leaders, because we're driving growth, to both minimize sprawl so that we can protect agricultural land, and also use the position and the platform to try to promote and sustain local food systems. Food distribution is 80% the cost of food. And so we actually, I believe, can pay local farmers and ranchers more, make their livelihood more secure, and try to get more young people into that field because we desperately need it, while having more homegrown food that's healthy and nutritious, all in one package if we can support those kind of efforts.
I think the single most important thing that the city can do to ensure that we have a local food production system in Gallatin Valley is to prevent the agricultural land in Gallatin Valley from getting paved over and turned into condos. I'm as a member of the city planning board, I've been supportive of inserting a policy or a suggested policy into our draft growth plan of a focus inward growth policy, which means that we're going to look to how we can grow in as a city before we annex more land out of the county. And to achieve that, we're going to have to work in collaboration with our partners in the county. But I've sat down to coffee or with some of our county commissioners, and it turns out that the county doesn't want sprawl either, because their constituents are the farmers that are producing our food. So I think that's what we can do. And I believe as a city, if we commit ourselves to growing in rather than sprawling, we can achieve that.
Thanks. I think this community has committed itself to these ideas around density and infill, and this goes directly to the problem of sprawl, like we've heard about, and how we prevent sprawl by really focusing on density and infill in the core and in the community. I also think there are some ideas about regenerative agriculture that might be of interest to folks that farm around us. I'm also just learning at this climate conference about this idea called biochar, and how you take dead wood, burn it to a very compact piece of like coal, and then you spread it into areas where you want things to grow, and it helps to regenerate the agriculture. And I think there's an opportunity for us to learn more about that. And I think I would like to see the city, when we have meetings and conferences where we have food, that we serve local food at our meetings and our conferences, and when we're feeding the commission or other folks.
Thank you. If you never see me again, let the takeaway message be that do get involved with your growth policy, because there's nothing more heartbreaking than seeing a group of neighbors show up and speak in opposition to something, and the commission essentially have to rubber stamp it, because the rules that were made 10 years ago say that if they don't, they're basically going to get sued. So as it's been alluded to, the growth policy is very important when it comes to issues like this, and being able to preserve your agricultural land to do that. But know that if you do that, and you're with the goal often being to prevent sprawl, right, and to increase infill and to build up, then that's when you are going to be looking at more of your black olive type of construction. So it's something to seriously think about and get involved with your growth policy. I believe it's scheduled to be finally adopted in mid-January or something around there. So do get involved with that, because that is one important document, is what I've found.
Okay. Yes, sir.
So I appreciate you all the strong statements on climate change. As we know, not enough is happening federally, so cities need to really step up right now. The city of Missoula just recently passed a plan and committed to 100% renewable electricity by 2030. The city of Helena is voting on a similar plan now. As was mentioned, Northwestern Energy is our monopoly utility here, and so the gains that have been made in this city so far have been when they switched from coal to hybrid. So a two-part question: would you be willing to support a plan for 100% clean or ideally net zero energy in Bozeman? And second, would you be willing to ask Northwestern Energy to push for more renewable energy in their upcoming 20-year plan?
I'm going to take this one. I'm going to stand up. The conference that I was at in Park City last week was attended by myself, Commissioner Cunningham, our sustainability director, and as well as Northwestern Energy. And I want to tell you that they are very interested in working with communities like Missoula and Bozeman to help us achieve our sustainability goals. They have a new person on their staff who is dedicated to do just that. And this meeting was last week, and in the first part of December, there will be more meetings with Northwestern Energy, with Missoula, looking at how to commit to renewables or net. I've lost my train of thought. Net zero by 2030. That's what this conference was about. That's the direction that we're headed, and they're going to be our partners in this. Next.
Yes, Greg, that's a great question. Yes, I support, obviously, renewable energy for the city of Bozeman, and yes, I want to work with Northwestern Energy. I think we also have to look at this as a long-term strategy as well. So Thomas Woods is running for the Public Service Commission. He used to serve in our state legislature. He challenged Northwestern Energy at the state level, and he is ready to work with them on a renewable energy plan for cities just like Bozeman. Second, we have to understand that Northwestern Energy is really focused on their assets, and that's where their wealth comes from. I think it's important that we work with them on net metering for our local community. We need to be able to sell that energy back into the grid. And we need to understand that Northwestern Energy, they are a private business, but at the same time, we have to work in collaboration and in partnership with them if we are going to get to net zero by 2040, which is Sunrise Movement's goal. And I think that recognizing that and agreeing to that will be very important for the future of net zero energy.
I do support the city adopting a goal of achieving 100% renewable energy by 2035. We do have to do that in collaboration with our energy partner, Northwestern Energy, but I also think that we could do more to promote local energy generation. One idea that I really like is the idea of community solar, which is kind of like a community garden. If you don't have space in your own yard to garden, you can get a plot in a local garden. Well, the city, in collaboration with Northwest Energy, could create a community solar project in which members in the community who don't have a south-facing roof or don't have the capital to do their own panel installations could buy into this project. The city would provide the land, perhaps on its old dump or next to the sewage treatment plant. Northwestern Energy would do the install, and we'd need a third-party financer to actually handle the financial transaction. But we could do that as a city and generate more of our own electricity right here in Bozeman.
Okay.
So when I lived in Park County, I consulted with a bunch of graduate and postdoc students in engineering at MSU because I was looking at the political feasibility of trying to plan for a distributed energy system for the county cooperatives, because all it would take in a place like Park County is maybe 100 votes, and you could make the board do it. You could make them get started on pilot projects. And my engineers agreed with me that we essentially have the technology now, or very close. But what we don't have is the pilot projects. And it's going to take utilities on board, whether we like it or not, because otherwise it hurts working class people. You can't afford solar panels on your roof. And if you're renting, you can't get them at all. So net metering is not really a long-term plan. We need a real long-term plan. And the way to do that is to do real-world conditions, to experiment now, and to find ways that we can scale it up and find out what it's going to cost, and then bring that to Northwestern as we go and make them say no.
Brian?
I agree with everything that's been said. The only thing I would add is it's with technology, it's actually conceivable that the solar energy we'd be using here could have been generated in Las Vegas with the increase in the battery technology. So that's something to keep in mind. They've made some tremendous advances with the batteries. So I think solar energy is becoming more and more realistic. I agree with meeting these targets that have been expressed. I always find myself in these issues because I had to bring myself up to speed on some of them. What would Steve Bullock do? And so he's about the incremental change, not the taking on bite-sized chunks that, because we're in some ways we're looking at dramatic changes in our lifestyle, which I know a lot of us are willing to do and eager to do, but just incremental steps and we'll get there.
Okay.
Thank you for listening to this Candidate and Issue Forum for the upcoming Bozeman municipal election, the forum was recorded on October 9th, 2019, at the Bozeman Public Library. We'll finish up with the last questions from the audience, and then a final wrap-up by each candidate.
Yes.
What plans do you have to manage our finite water source here in the valley?
Finite water source.
Thank you. So we have the goal of being the most water conservation-oriented city in the Northern Rockies. We have two full-time sustainability staff members. Great thing about Bozeman is if you can't find water in Bozeman or hook up to it, you don't pull a permit. I'd have three very concrete plans. One, we need to require zero scaping or southwestern desert-style scaping on all new homes. We don't all need nice, plush green lawns. We need authority from the state of Montana to do that, and we should ask for that from our legislators. Two, we need to continue to increase our tiered water rates. We just did that recently. And three, we need to require smart sprinklers. Our water use doubles in the summer because people are watering their lawns. There's no reason to water your lawn if it just rained that night. I think it's incredibly important that we educate citizens on this and perhaps even try and find a way to incentivize a conservation course for all new homeowners in Bozeman. Thank you.
Yes, I too am glad that we don't permit unless there's water. But there's a bit of a problem, which is that as soon as we begin to hit that limit, what's going to happen to housing prices? Is it going to shoot through the roof because supply will be effectively cut off? Or that development will move into county where it's not being as strictly regulated, and then you have different kinds of problems. So I agree, we need not only zero scaping requirements, and I wish we could get them, and that's one of the local powers issues where we need to be able to do more in addition to state building code that we cannot do right now. But the fastest way there is to actually have new homes be built to be nearly net zero energy use in the first place so that water itself gets cycled on property. And I've actually, there's been a study done of Bozeman, and the payback time is 10 to 12 years for a completely net zero home. So this is doable, and it's something that we need to push on the state to let us do because it's one of the best ways that we can make it happen.
My understanding is that our current water supply will support up to a population of about 65,000 people. We're growing fast. We'll quickly exceed that. The good news is that we have lots and lots of water here in the East Gallatin watershed and Gallatin Valley. And as Michael said, when new developments come online, so we have lots of water, we just don't have the permits or the rights to that water. So as new developments are created within the city, they are required to bring their own water rights. So the good news is that as our population grows, our water rights will expand as well. I'm not sure that we should require zero scaping in the future, but I would say that one thing that we should do now is we should allow it. The city does not allow a homeowner to zero scape the boulevard strip in front of their home, and I think that before we start requiring it, like removing that requirement would be a good place to start.
I've done it.
So have many others.
So I think when I gave my State of the City address this year, one of the things I addressed was water and water conservation, and I do think that we should do a better job in the city of looking at how we conserve water and specifically how we water our boulevards. And I drive around and see these things, watering boulevards at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Some of those are issues around with HOAs, and we don't have a lot of we can't do much about HOAs, but we can certainly look at our own practices and think about the sprinkling system that we use and when we water our boulevards. We do have an integrated water resource plan that talks about how we are going to make sure we have water into the next 50 years. So we use that plan. We go by that plan. We have a drought management plan. We are the only city in Montana that has a drought management plan. So when and if we have a drought, we have a plan that will step-by-step tell us this is what we're going to be doing. And again, we don't permit if we don't have water. And we also buy water. We are always looking to buy water when it's available.
I don't know what I would have to add other than I don't know if you're familiar with Drop Counter. It's a new little piece of software that you can log in on the city's website. And presuming that you have the updated little piece of equipment that goes on top of your meter, your water meter, you can tell, you'll be notified instantly if you have a water leak. So there's been a lot of similar, and with the toilet rebates and the all the different bathroom fixture rebates that we have, there has been tremendous strides made with the city's water conservation program. One of the other reasons that I was running is to kind of maybe fill some of the void left by Commissioner Krause's shoes when he leaves. And he always comes up with some intriguing thoughts that I would never have got there by myself. And one of them was, we don't really have a water crisis. We don't really have a pending water shortage problem if we stop growing. So, I mean, to some extent, I know that sounds crazy, but it could be up to us a lot more of this than you think.
Okay, you get another one.
Many questions were not answered tonight because of the fact that we don't have the ability to, like, do those at the city commission level. What is your strategy for working with the state to get some of these questions answered that we can't answer because we don't have the power right now? So how would you, like, work with the state to kind of regain that power or change state level legislature, things like that?
Interesting question.
I'll start with that, and I think my suggestion is that what we are starting now to put together a legislative agenda for the next legislative session. And so if you have ideas, well, we've heard a lot of them here tonight about ways, things that we need to be doing in order to help our legislators understand what it is that this community, what's important to us, and the things that we want to change. We are having those discussions right now, and you can email probably any of us here to help get that word out to our legislators. And we will be meeting with them and letting them know just exactly what it is that we want them to do and where we want what we want to carry forward, as well as meeting with our lobbyists. They are, five voices or however many. In a big legislative session. So we also have an opportunity to work with other major communities about issues, particularly this climate issue that I mentioned, working with Northwestern Energy, working with Missoula, working with other large communities to move some of this legislation forward.
So I would do a couple of things. In the interim, we need to follow Missoula's lead and I think push the envelope a little bit in terms of what's possible. Missoula's had to sort of pass legislation and then test it in the courts, where it's ultimately decided. But the other thing that we can do is submit for the Attorney General to issue opinions so that we have a little bit more legal ground to see what we can do in the meantime on things like a minimum wage where it hasn't been strictly preempted or prohibited. And so it's sort of maybe a little bit up in the air. We could find out. The other thing is that I would immediately start working with city leaders across the state to try to form an alliance of forward-thinking city leaders across partisan lines and across ideological lines to lobby together as a unit. We need to do that better on issues like this, and we need to do it cohesively, because right now, you go up there and certain sides of the aisle don't really like, you know, the crazy liberals from Bozeman who come forward. So we can gain a little bit more support that way.
I really appreciate Zach's comments. I think they're all spot on. One thing that I would add is that the city's lobbyist, who we hired in the last legislative session, as I understand, was working for Bozeman and five other clients at the same time. One of our Bozeman representatives relayed to me in confidence that our lobbyist was highly ineffective because on account of being spread very thin between multiple competing interests. So I think that's one thing that we could do better in the next legislative session, as well as having more of our electeds go up to Helena and testify themselves. But I want to make a point that one thing that I think differentiates me as a candidate is that I'm running a platform based on changes that the city can make without having to change state law. No offense, but if we want to make progress in the next 4 years, yeah, we need to work on the state level, but we also need to figure out what we can do now under existing state law.
Okay. Who else would like to speak to that? Brian?
What I would say is I look forward to working with the state, working with all the other government agencies, whether it be the state, the county, to solve not just this problem, but all of the problems that we have that do require permission at the state level. And as an watcher of the city commission meetings on TV for well over 5 years, everyone, and I just think that my communication style would probably be, as I sit up here and butcher every word, you're probably thinking, yeah, right? But no, I just think that I have a way of talking to people instead of down to them. And some of the conversations that I've observed on the TV with the commission meeting and the way that we interact with the county and these other agencies, and even sometimes when the state comes down, often they're good, but sometimes they're not. I just can't help but understand. I think that if that's how bad it is when you're talking to each other on camera, I mean, what's really going on behind the scenes? So I would just like to, when I talk to these people, they're just normal people. So I just like to give it a shot myself.
Thank you very much. I agree with Mayor Andrus on the legislative agenda or ideas that need to be innovated. Second, we need positive relationships with our legislative officials. I think the local legislators here understand Bozeman, but the rural ones do not, and they need to understand that we're more alike than we are different. We need to educate them on Bozeman. We need to educate them on what we need as a community. For instance, the tax report that I'll be presenting in November. Yes, I'm a rural ranch kid, but I support a local option sales tax. We need the authority under Montana law. And lastly, if we're talking about separating ourselves from other candidates, I'm a candidate who's going to push the boundaries. I am going to push state-level officials for innovative policy ideas that will help our community grow and prosper. And I look forward to building those future relationships with not only our local legislators, but the rural state legislators as well.
Does anybody have a last burning question? Okay, Eva, do a burning question.
Well, we've heard a lot about collaboration and working with the state, working with private companies, and we've also talked about water conservation, agricultural lands, and the need for planning, and we have the so what I'm getting to is the county and what ideas you have working with the county. We have the triangle partnership going, and where do you see some growth going on from there with working with the county?
Thank you. So I think with the county, we need an open, positive, and collaborative dialogue in order to solve the most pressing issues here in Gallatin Valley. First, we need a collaborative governance relationship. We need to realize that we're in this together, and we need to make public policy decisions that benefit the city and the county. Secondly, we need a city-county forum. Seattle's done this, Boise's done this, other cities have been successful. It's 2 hours a month. You bring local leaders together with citizens. They can have very informed and difficult conversations, and these have been really innovative from a policy perspective. Third, I've met with Scott McFarland. He's open to mediation with the city of Bozeman. In fact, he even mentioned he thought Carson Taylor would be a great mediator. We need to build these relationships and this collaborative governance, and I've done this. I worked with 112 municipalities in Montana, Idaho, and Wyoming in collaborative governance, and it's extremely important to get everyone in the room and agreeing on common outputs. Thank you.
Thank you for the question. We will not be able to achieve our goals as a city without working in collaboration and concert with our regional partners. So how do we do that? I think the first thing is identifying the fact that we have commonalities, common values between the city and the county. As I mentioned earlier, the city doesn't want sprawl. Turns out the county doesn't want sprawl either. So we have that in common. Second, I'll give all of you a piece of homework. The county is just starting the process of updating its growth plan. Please go home and go to envisiongallatin.com and take their survey and participate in that process. Finally, I think that we can build better collaboration. The county hosts a monthly meeting with its county administrator that the city manager used to attend. I assume that meeting was discontinued. It turns out that meeting continues, and there's been an open invitation, as I understand, for our city manager to attend that meeting, and we don't attend. So I think a good first step in that direction, like, let's build some relationships, and also let's start creating mechanisms for communication and or additional mechanisms for communication and dialogue with the county.
To piggyback on what Mark said, I did notice also in the strategic plan it called for regularly scheduled meetings, joint city-county meetings with Gallatin County. I don't know if they were quarterly. I think they were quarterly, and I was wondering what was happening there, too. We absolutely need to coordinate with not just Gallatin County, but with Belgrade and Four Corners as our population is probably going to exceed 50,000 with this upcoming census. I mean, we're going to be required to form what they call a metropolitan planning organization, and we're going to be required to work with those folks to specifically on transportation, but everything that goes with that. And I just love to give it a shot because, like I say, when I talk to these people, and I've met with Don Seifert, and I've talked here and there with the other commission in the gym and whatnot, and I just don't see what the problem is. I think it's not a zero sum game where in order for us to win, someone else has to lose, right? I think we can all win.
I will say this: I will promise to keep trying. It takes two to tango. And any meeting that we are invited to, somebody from the city will be there. We are happy to participate in meeting at any time with any of the commissioners, the city manager, whether it's the city manager, the mayor, the city commission. We will be there. We are happy to attend, and we will continue to work on this.
Yeah, that's crucial. We can't have tiffs between city and county, you know, ending up on the front page of a paper. Well, we can't, you know, make things work. So, yes, I would echo the Metropolitan Planning Organization is a great vehicle to begin this. I would love to see the city and county begin to move toward a unified growth plan, at least in terms of an agreed statement. I mean, legally, you have to have separate plans. But to have that in mind, because Bozeman is driving the growth everywhere else, largely, and we impact each other. And there's a lot more we can do if we set growth and zoning and planning policies together in a constructive way that's looking 5 and 10 years out, that will help us much more than we're doing now, as if they're very distinct entities. So I'm relatively optimistic that things will be good in the future. But we need to make strong efforts there.
I want to make two comments before we do the two-minute closings for everybody. I'm struck by two things. One is that you all came out on this cold, snowy night, and I'm so glad to live in a community where people care and are interested. And also, I'm struck by how all of you have done your homework. It's very impressive. Should we start urine, Brian?
That depends. What are we doing? Oh.
Why you should be on the mayor.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. Well, thank you very much for attending tonight. Maybe I should start by finishing my I'm going to be your voice. I'm here to protect. Mainly, I got to admit, I'm biased. I'm biased towards the people who are already here. I'm biased toward. I'm going to protect your wallet. I'm going to protect your quality of life. And like I mentioned before, the growth policy is currently being updated. That's something that we need to find a way that we can amend that thing or put in some sort of veto provision so that you can continue to enjoy your quality of life without something terrible happening right next to you. With regard to your wallet, I'm going to keep it transparency and accountability in the budget process. I think we can do a much better job there. I think we need to lead by example at City Hall. If we're going to ask you to tighten your belt, I think we need to tighten our belt as well. I think as new things come on, I don't know that we necessarily just keep adding and adding and adding. I think when you have as an individual in your day to day life, if something new comes into your life that you have to pay for, quite often what you have to do is pick something else that you're not going to be able to pay for anymore. And we need to do a better job of managing our bottom line, I think. We're starting to become a big city where the budget is becoming increasingly confusing, and you could argue that we're almost looking at, almost deficit-type spending in some ways, where we're having to dig into accumulated reserves in order to fund our next year's budget. So that my pledge to you then is going to be to do all those things and to protect your quality of life, protect your wallet. Stand up to the bureaucracy and to the consultants. You're going to be my voice, not them. And to make sure that you're in the driver's seat as we move forward. Thank you. And don't forget to vote.
Thank you. I am going to repeat what I said in the beginning. I bring every ounce of myself every day to this work. I like it. Pressure is a privilege. That's my motto. And I continue to work hard every day for all of you. I have never shied away from listening, from meeting with anybody, from hard issues that we are facing as a community, and we are facing some challenging and hard issues. So I really do want to continue this work. I believe that I have the experience, not only on the City Commission, but with regard to the other boards that I sit on, the relationships that I have with other mayors around the country, so that we don't have to reinvent the wheel every time we have a new challenge or issue that comes before us. And I will commit to, again, meeting with you, listening to you, and I want to continue to do this work, and I hope that I have your support. Thank you.
Just a couple quick notes. One, the concept of a municipal planning organization has come up a couple times. One thing that I want to share is that, so I work with MPOs on a daily basis. It's part of my job. We are likely to get an MPO in Bozeman in the next 4 years. If I'm a member of commission at the time, I can help us get that set up correctly. It's going to have huge impacts in terms of how we do regional planning, and I think that's a unique skill that I could bring to the board. Second, I want to point out that almost none of the ideas that I've shared this evening are my own. They're ideas that have come from you all or come from other people who are smarter than myself, who are also smarter than myself outside of this community. I'd refer you to my website at eggyforbozeman.com, where I have maps, I have links to all the sources where these solutions are already working in other communities. And I just wanted to close by saying that I began this campaign with the premise that we share a lot in common in this community, that we have a strong sense of shared values. And conversation after conversation on people's doorsteps has affirmed that premise, that we share much in common in this community. We value the natural world. We value this as a place with a vibrant middle class. And I think that if we're willing to come together and listen to each other and identify the things that we hold in common and where we need to make compromises to achieve those things that we hold in common, we can do so. And so I'm asking for your vote. I believe that we can become a model city for how a city can grow without losing the thing that makes it special if we engage in this process of consensus building. And if you're willing to join me in finding common ground solutions to move us forward, I need your vote, and I need you to drag or to encourage every person you know to also participate in our election. Thank you very much.
So I'm the odd man out, I think. Amongst all the city commission, all are homeowners. Everyone else here at the panel, I believe, is a homeowner. I'm not. I'm here to bring a different voice to the city commission, a voice that's not represented. There are 60% of Bozeman rents. I rent. My family lives on $3,000 a month. We understand what poverty is. We've lived it. We've been there. And I know what that's like. And I talk to people every day on the doors who now call me back asking if I can help them navigate social services because they're struggling. And I ask every person I talk to if they know any of the current city commissioners, if they know what they do or they know what they can do. And almost the answer to almost all of those questions unanimously is no, no, and no. And I want to make sure that they have a voice and that we reach them, because if we don't, who are we representing? And so I think that's just really unfortunate. You know, I got a ray gun here, Michael. My opponent here had a very impressive endorsement list of 120-some names, but there's only two renters on that list. And most of those folks, I'm fairly certain, are probably above the median income. So it's not to rag on them, but there's a representation problem here. And I'm concerned that there's increasingly one in Bozeman where the poor and the struggling and the young just get swept under the rug. And we need to make sure that they are not, because they are our future. And they make this place work. All those service jobs, they make this city work. And without them, we're nothing. So we need to make sure we take care of the least first and then work our way up.
I want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I view this position as very much a leadership position in the community. I spent the last 13 years trying to learn from people that are more experienced than me. I've surrounded myself with them. I've learned from them. I've challenged them. And I've shared my perspectives when it mattered most. But most importantly, I was willing to learn, and I was willing to listen. That's exactly what we've done in the doors with my team. We are talking to every single citizen in Bozeman that votes so we can understand your perspective and how we can make a difference in your lives with the local level of government. I volunteered at over a dozen community service positions, worked for government agencies at the local, state, and federal level. I have my education, but the smartest people that I've met along that way are the citizens that I've spoken with in the last couple of months. It's been really powerful. We can achieve great goals together for our community, very progressive goals. Once again, I said that I'm going to push the limits. I'm going to ask the state legislator for authority so that we can have a tourist tax or a local option sales tax, so that we can improve our community, and so that we can be progressive in nature as Bozeman has always been. I am asking for your vote because I listen to the citizens of Bozeman, and I will go back to the city commission and try and do what is best for the Bozeman community. I'm having a Get Out the Vote event tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Story Mansion. Anyone in this room is invited, renters and homeowners both. I want to thank you guys for a wonderful couple of months. I can't express to you how grateful I am to chat with the citizens on their doors, learn about their high points and low points in life, and we can share those together. Thank you very much for a wonderful evening, and have a great night.
thank you all for coming, and we'll see you next year for more forums.
Thank you for listening to this issue and candidate forum that was held on October 9th, 2019 at the Bozeman Public Library. The forum was sponsored by the Bozeman Business and Professional Women, Bozeman Public Library, and the Bozeman chapter of the League of Women Voters. KGVM will feature more coverage of the upcoming election. You can find that at our website, kgvm.org, or stay tuned and we'll air additional forums and other information about the election right here at 95.9 FM or at kgvm.org.